hide in my heart, let not my sin get strife. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag, and to the Savior for whom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen and coming again, with high clarity to all who believe. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
All right, let's see here. Prayer list. Joseph Smith, Scotty Smith, Linda Johnson family, Zane Hudson, Carol Buck, Buddy Weaver, Andrew Morgan, Kenny Brown, Geraldine Schrantz, Gladys Keegan, Dallas Keegan, Randy Winstead, Christy Morgan, Debbie, Maddie, Dorothy Buck, Jeremy Matthews and family, Frank and Lou M, Larry Burns and family, Caitlin, Anna and Addie. I didn't know what Larry's girlfriend's name was, I just put family. All right. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Now, I do pray for Christy, though. She's not feeling good. So just pray for her. See if I got anything else on your heart tonight.
Well, thank the Lord for saving me and letting me be here this evening. Always just remember us in prayers. Thank the Lord we're slowly getting better. I am just praying because Christine's fighting it out. Little Jubilee had a real high fever at our church this morning, so Christine's at home with her. And I think for the fever's coming down, but she's still got fever. Just continue to remember Jan. Lord, work everything out with her, that she'll find her the right place where the Lord wants her to be. We're going to protect her and keep her on the right path, so to speak, I guess is the way to say it. Do remember the Bradley Schwartz family. He passed away Friday night with that prostate cancer. So. And I did get to see him in the hospital when he was still in the hospital, and he assured me that he knew where he was going. So pray for his family and pray for the ones around him, especially, like Mark. Just pray that maybe God would use that to get a hold of him. And, when he was a kid, he was in church. He's heard the truth, and, he just don't want nothing to do with it. So then you're not going to talk to him and convince him, but it takes the Holy Spirit, So just pray that God would work in his heart and maybe use that to get his attention there. And again, just pray for that family.
Mark and Bradley, were they close or something?
Yeah. See, they're both ham radio operators, and they did a bunch of ham radio stuff together. Bradley worked at the shop with us there,
Oh, so. Yes, I mean, he did.
Yeah. I think Bradley and Mark spent a lot of time together.
Bradley was in the same class as me and Christy.
Yeah.
We all been in school together. Anyone else?
Yeah. Please help me not be gay unless I will get saved by a lot more.
Okay, we'll pray for you.
Troubles and sorrows have ended.
sing and shout it, for he's everything to me.
Chapter 26, and we'll pick up where we left off this morning.
I
about, you know, spreading the gospel. I'm just one been preaching on since first year. And here I'm talking about how we need to have a good testimony. You know our testimony. To where when we're witnessing somebody, we can give that testimony to that person. And they can see, you know, and if you look here at the first part of this, up to verse number 11, Apostle Paul is telling King Agrippa, you know, what he was before he met Jesus. When he was a Pharisee, the things he did as a Pharisee, the stuff that he done in the name of God.
Amen.
You know? But now we get verse number 12, it changes. Paul here is beginning to tell him what happened the day that he got saved. And you know, that is something that we really need to express to lost people, is our testimony. Now, you know, I'm just going to take a brief moment here. You know, I was a lost church member. My name was on the roll of the church, but my name was not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Preacher John Dooch got up one Sunday morning and preached about being a counterfeit. And I discovered that's what I was. I was a counterfeit. I wasn't the real thing. That, you know, I had a somewhat of a testimony, but it was a false testimony. It wasn't a true testimony because I wasn't a true child of God. I was lost. But then when he preached that, I left out of that church that morning, still lost. I walked out of the church, still lost like I did every other Sunday before. But you know, that was one of those Sundays where we went and visited my mom and dad, everybody all of us got together. Me and daddy was sitting down there in the building. There's a little building in behind my house. It was his house then. His building. We were sitting down there. He had him a little man cave down there.
Yeah.
And he kept asking me, "Son, there's something wrong with you today. What's wrong? What's bothering you?" "Nothing, Dad. Everything's okay, Daddy. I'm fine." I mean, even Daddy knew. Mm-hmm. A lost man knew that I was having a problem. But then when I got to church that night, got down there in the prayer room, and the Holy Ghost of God had, I mean, he hadn't left me all day. I mean, that spirit was there. It was knocking at my door. It did not give up. And when everybody had prayed, I'm like, "Preacher John, I got to get things right now. Things ain't right. I need to be saved." And he bowed down with me. I buried my head in that cold metal chair. And I gave my life to the Lord. I got saved right there in the prayer room at Chapel Fort Baptist Church, which now is Fairview Baptist Church.
Yeah.
I got saved in that prayer room. I was like 31 years old, something like that. 31, 32, somewhere along in there. And God saved me. Right there. That's where the change was made. That's when my name was no longer on the church roll, but it was in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life is the book where when you get saved, he writes your name down that book.
Yeah.
And it's there. Folks, I'm saved to the uttermost. I am saved. I am sealed. That name is written there, and it is not going to be blotted out.
Amen.
See, that's the testimony that I need to be telling people. This lost. No, I did not live a perfect life before I got saved. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something else. I ain't really no perfect life after I got saved.
Amen.
I still fall short of the glory of God. But I'm going to tell you something. The difference is that I have been redeemed. I have been bought with a price. Amen? And right here in verse 12 is where I'm going to pick up with. And Paul is going to start telling King Agrippa, Festus, and all the others there is with him what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And here we go. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with the authority of the commission from the chief priest. In other words, he had permission.
Yeah.
He had the letters in his hand to give him the law of authority to find anyone that was a Christian who proclaimed Jesus Christ as their Savior to take those people into bondage and throw them in prison. He had that right. He had that authority.
Yeah.
At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. Not only did he see it, but also the men that was with him. They were all there.
Yeah.
All right, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in a Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And we look at that and we find, here he's saying Saul, Saul. At this time, Paul was known as Saul.
Yeah.
Saul of Tarsus, a man that was feared above all men. And then here he is. He has fell to the earth, and he is speaking, being spoke to by Jesus. You look at this. It is in red, if you have a red letter edition Bible. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of these things which is things in which I appear unto thee, delivering thee from thy people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. In other words, he's getting his charge.
Yeah.
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Saul of Tarsus here was not only saved by God's grace, but he was called into preaching.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
Yeah.
Paul was a chosen vessel unto the Lord to go to the Gentile church, to go to the Gentiles and preach to them Jesus Christ crucified, buried, you know, death, as death is buried and his resurrection. To preach to them that through the blood of Jesus they could be saved. Amen?
Yeah.
There was Paul's testimony of his salvation to King Agrippa. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and them to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Now these Jews, they're still hung up on that Mosaic law.
Yeah.
They're still preaching in the synagogues. They're still doing they're still trying to live them commandments and all those laws that they couldn't live.
Yeah.
They didn't want no part of this being redeemed. They didn't want to know that somebody died for them. Amen. So they sought to kill him.
Yeah.
Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than this which is the prophet Moses did say shall come, the Christ shall suffer, and that he shall be the first that shall raise from the dead, and shall show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. What's Paul preaching?
The gospel.
He's preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
The very thing that Jesus, when he left, he told us to go out into the world. Start at Jerusalem, go out into the world and preach the gospel. And that's what Paul is preaching.
Yeah.
Even right now, he's preaching in this chapter to these men that are listening. Now, you think this morning when over in verse number 3, he said, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Now, King Agrippa was a listening, so is Festus. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning do make thee mad. Boy, I tell you one thing. Today they think we're mad.
Yeah.
They think that much learning of the Word of God has made us totally blinded us to common sense stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That we're brainwashed. Well, I'll tell you what, being saved is brainwashed, and I'm brainwashed. Brainwashed into the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'd rather be saved than be anything else I know.
Yeah.
I'd rather call Jesus my Master, my Lord, my Savior, than any man.
Yeah.
Amen? But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. He's telling him the truth. He ain't telling him things of being drunken on madness. He's telling him the truth. And that's what we need to be teaching and going out and witnessing to people and telling them that Jesus is the truth.
Yeah.
That the devil is a liar and the father of it. Plus, we need to be telling people in our testimonies and when we're talking to folks, when we're trying to witness to them. But some will listen and some will not. Some will listen patiently but then still refuse. I think here, in this word that we're reading here tonight, I think King of Britain, I really believe with all my heart that he was patiently listening to every word. That he was receiving each word. But then again, we find that he rejects. Amen. For the king knoweth all these things before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. In other words, it's out in the open. You do something in a corner. If you go into a corner and you're doing something, you're trying to hide where people can't see what you're doing. Paul says here, hey, these things are not hidden from him. It's not done in a corner. And King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. Almost. Don't cut it.
Right.
You can't almost be a Christian.
Right.
You cannot almost be saved.
Amen.
Salvation is one of those things that is insured. It's one of those things where it's absolute. You either are or you're not.
Yeah.
There is no in between.
Amen.
You can't be a Christian on Sunday and a hellraiser on Monday. God don't accept that.
Right.
You live by His commandments. You walk by His commandments. You live by His commandments. What He tells you. You know, hey, when God says something's wrong, there's nothing to be discussed about it. It's wrong.
Right.
If He says that it is ungodly to Him, if it's not right, there ain't a man on this earth that can change the Word of God and make it, in his eyes, right, that be right in the eyes of God.
Right.
If God says it's sin, and there is no other way to look around. There is no exceptions to the rules. There is no law that can be made, no rule that can be made by any man that can change what God says is wrong and right.
Yeah, amen.
If God says it's right, it's right. If He says it's wrong, it's wrong. And there's no room in there for discussion.
Amen.
There's no room in there to, we'll just change this word and that word and it'll be all right. Because you can change all the Bibles down here if you want to. But you got to realize one thing. He's got the original up there.
Yeah.
And so many people today, they want to make their lifestyles. They want to make their beliefs. The things that make them feel good, make them feel good. They think, well, if the world changes, then I'm okay. No. Or if I change the rules, it's okay. No. God has the ultimate decision-making powers in everything. Regardless of what it is. God says it's wrong. It's wrong. And nothing you can do can change that. Amen. So we find here now that King Agrippa has decided that he was not going to be a Christian. Said, Paul, you almost persuaded me, but not quite. And Paul said, I would be to God that not only thou, but also all state, were both almost and altogether such as I am, set these bonds. Paul wasn't just trying to reach King Agrippa.
Right.
He was trying to reach the whole crowd.
Yeah.
And folks right there, I just want to stop a minute right here. You know, we witness the people. And we try to test, you know, we try to, you know, show people that Jesus is the way. Sometimes they will sell. But they don't always say, I will.
Yeah.
Sometimes they say no. I mean, look, we think it's bad that you know, King Agrippa and all those there rejected Christ, Paul's teaching, his testimony. You look at the rich young ruler.
Yeah.
He looked the Son of God straight in the face and said no.
Yeah.
He walked away sad. He told Jesus himself, no.
Yeah.
And who do we think we are? That everybody that we try to persuade to the Lord, that they're always just going to bow down and say yes because we told them. It don't work that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are going to say no. And that's part of the free will thing. They have a right to choose.
Yeah.
They might have chose wrong, but they have the right to choose. And who's to say that somewhere down the line,
right,
they start thinking about it. The Holy Ghost of God starts dwelling on it. Just like me. I walked out of the house of God that Sunday morning lost. Come back that night and got saved before service ever started.
Yeah.
I said no, Brother Hank. When I walked out that door lost, I said no. But the Holy Spirit of God still dwelled there.
Yeah.
It didn't take no for an answer.
Ooh.
Because he knew that that day was supposed to be my new birthday. Amen? Thank God that I didn't get killed on the way back to church that night.
Yeah.
Thank God that I made it.
Yeah.
That I was able to get down that prayer room and ask the Lord to forgive me, to save me. I had that chance. It don't always work that way. But I thank God that I have a testimony that I can stand on. That the Lord has blessed me, has helped me, has led me through hard paths. Thank God that I'm saved. Thank God that you're saved. Thank God all those people that might be watching that are saved. I thank God that they're saved.
Amen.
And I pray that somebody's watching on one of these cameras and they're not saved. That something might have been said or done in this message tonight, this morning, that might get them to realize that they need Jesus as their Savior. You say, preacher, what's wrong with the world today? Hey, what's wrong with the world today? They didn't have the same people.
Yeah.
It's just ain't enough of people in the world to save them, make a difference, and help. I mean, I know God can take a little and do a lot with it. He always has. But what I'm saying is if more folks were saved,
yeah,
we'd have less problems. That'd be more people that's being led and guided by the Lord instead of the devil.
was talking about that in the woods, the whole crowd. I mean, I'm not very good with this anymore. I'm not, you know, good about doing it like I should. But there was a lady talking to me. She worked at Crisis Pregnancy Center in Hickory. And, you know, that's one of the things that they always do there. Of course, they want to say babies. But really, the gospel is what they're about. They want young women to be saved. And then, what, you know, then that's going to follow on that that child then is going to have parents going to tell them about it, you know. But she had this young lady that came in, she said, brought her friend with her, and she said usually they try to, you know, not take the friends in the room. And she said most of the time when they bring the friend, you're sitting there trying to tell them the truth, and the friend is there to try to talk them out of it. That's why they come. She said, but she could not. This girl wasn't going to come in the room without her friend. So she's sitting there, and she's talking to her. She said, I'm pretending this girl over here don't exist. I'm talking to this pregnant girl. She said, and I'm trying to tell her the gospel. And she said, I talked to her, talked to her, talked to her. It's like she was just like talking to a brick wall. Absolutely just no response whatsoever. And she said, I happened to look over. That friend was crying. She said, that's what you're talking about right there. That's what I need. So she was trying to witness to that one. And she wasn't getting a response.
But she got a response out of the other one.
Because the Holy Spirit was working in that other girl that she wasn't even really talking to. But God took that woman's words and used them in a way that she did not expect to bring in the one that he knew was going to come that day.
Yeah, that women's pregnancy center, I had a little bit of a counter with them. A benefit that I would say. It was actually the benefit was for the Pregnancy Crisis Center. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I was really impressed with those ladies. They really cared. And you could see the love of God in them as you talked to them. That was really nice folks. Anyone else tonight? Okay. If not, CJ, you pray for me. They're going to build a new place across the street from Safe Harbor.
Yeah. Yeah, Hank was telling me about it. I think, yes. They've already been given the land.
Yeah. It's going to be right there behind where Don's first one was at.
Yeah.
Field 2 is $20 an hour.
And that's one of the things that the left used to say, oh, y'all want to fight this abortion?